You see, we've been taught you don't have to look it to be it. And in order to prosecute a reality that is coming from the realm of the immortals, you need to subscribe sufficiently to grace to receive empowerment to carry out the functions that are laid on you by the wisdom and the protocol that comes from the realm of reality. Because by strength shall no man prevail. In this business, you don't have the capacity to prosecute what God demands on you, of you, from the energy of the flesh. And because it is not fulfilled on the frequency of flesh, every one of us is given equal privilege, access, and opportunity. Grace is the equalizer in our operations in the kingdom. By the provisions of grace, the weakest man can become the mightiest of all. So when we declare in confidence of the possibilities that abound in the life of a believer, we are not just talking to motivate them. We are talking because we have an understanding of the economy of grace that is at work in this dispensation, enabling people to come into a heritage that was written concerning them before the foundations of the world. Your life is a story that the Lord is telling from eternity. And the only way you can gain access and capacity to prosecute that which God is saying from the realms of the Spirit is as you latch onto the grace that is provided you on account of His wisdom and His mercy. And the moment you make contact with that operation of God, you'll be amazed that you, who before the moment of encounter was a nobody, will become one that will be the brightest among everybody. Because even the most charismatic among us is not qualified, because it's not on the strength of flesh. It is within the provisions of grace. You see, Jesus, who was the Son of God, the custodian of everything that formulated the personality called the Godhead, He could not achieve anything for the kingdom except as He encountered the grace that empowered Him for the workings of God. He was a good man for 30 years, but He could not shake the territory where He found Himself. But the day He made that encounter with divinity, the day that the mandate was proclaimed from heaven, the day that He entered through the corridor of process and secured the requisite alignment for empowerment, the Bible said the carpenter that went to the mountain, he returned as a bright light. And he said that it might be fulfilled that which was written by Isaiah the prophet. In the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, he said the people that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. He was a man for 30 years, a very good man, an upright man. But when grace began to work out a protocol in his life, he was no longer called a man. He was addressed as the light that brought out people from the shackles of death. It doesn't matter where you are. You may be the most disadvantaged of all men. All you need to do is to encounter the protocol of grace. By the time this wisdom of the immortals begin to find expression through you, you'll be amazed that what you call weakness will become the window through which reality begins to find expression. I've seen people who cannot talk. They are literally considered to be docile and weaklings. People who could not give expression even to their motivation. Suddenly something alights upon them, and every utterance that proceeds from their lips becomes the utterance of the Monarch of Zion. It is not by power. It is not by might. It is by the Spirit. I trust the living God that by the time we are rounding up this meeting, most of you will leave here set ablaze for Jesus. The places you ran away from temptation, you will go back there conquering darkness and uninstalling principalities. Faith is the wisdom of God playing out in time. Faith is the wisdom of God. You don't know how a man who before now was a non-entity suddenly becomes a veteran, because he can perceive something from another realm. You will collide with something in the course of this meeting. You will collide with something. Some of us were not willing to preach the gospel. We had our ambitions. We had our plans. We were wise in our own ways until light appeared to us. We were wise. And even when light showed up, some of us were sicklers, weaklings. But suddenly strength came from Zion. And you can stand before thousands and proclaim the counsel of God You don't even know by what means, by what wisdom, by what technology you could do the things you do. It is the working of grace. Tonight I want to show you where your journey in God is supposed to begin from. One of the worst things that have bedeviled the church today is the force of religion. So we are choked by activities, all kinds of activities. But there is no transformation, there is no impact on ground. Because we were not showed where to begin. There is a place where every man begins his journey in God. And if you just stumble into the race, you may find yourself running in cycles and circles, and your life will not transform to meaning, to not translate to relevance. Because the things we do, they have their roots in the spirit. You see, Pastor Bernard was trying to bring us an emphasis while he was expounding on the word of the Lord. And he said something striking. The very place where you go to pray in tongues for 10 hours is the same location where they come to carry out enchantments. Meanwhile, it is impossible for light and darkness to cohabit. If what you are doing is truly light, the moment they come to the vicinity of your operation, everything they do is supposed to shut down. That you are doing all you are doing and they still have results and there is potency in what they are doing is a statement that what you are doing is not striking a chord in the realm where it matters. The worst thing that can happen to you is to master how to do spiritual activities and not make contact with essence and life. If you lose touch with Zion, you are lost. It doesn't matter what you proclaim on earth. If you lose touch with Zion, you are lost. The reason marriage is a great mystery is because our union with Christ is the only basis where we can walk in immortality. We become one with Him, and that begins from now. That's what the church is. But there are a lot of people running the rat race, doing all kinds of things. Even when they are speaking in tongues, they are out of the spirit because they have mastered how to carry out the spiritual gimmicks. They don't know that every time we are summoned to stand before God, we are making contact with hallowed entities. Every inspiration that comes to you that you think is just a thought hitting your spirit is actually a vote of life opened by a custodian in the spirit. Every time you receive an inspiration, an entity in the realm of the spirit opened a vote and you collided with reality. You thought it's an inspiration, so you don't understand the entities that you are interacting with. You don't know the beings that you have been summoned to work with as partners. If you know the angels that are walking side by side with you, every time you utter words from your mouth, you will do it with hallowedness. You will do it with humility, because the utterances that are coming upon your lips, they were whispered to you by angels. And some of these angels have lived for aeons. They were there when the foundations of the world were sculpted. And they have worked with the people that are carrying out the assignment you came to continue. You are only part of a chain that is stretched from eternity. They whisper to the people that handed over the baton to you. You come, you think it's a function of what you want to do. You don't have understanding. If you know that the time is not long, every breath that comes upon your nostril will become an investment in eternity. Life is deeper than everything you think it is. It's not breath on your nostril. It is an investment of God upon a mortal vessel. That time you thought about going to pray, if you knew the angel that whispered to you, you will run to the place of prayer. If you knew how many people, how many generations before you, that angel have whispered the same thing to, in order to sustain that heritage that has been handed over to you as a custodian in your dispensation, you will not sleep for one night. The reason somebody is saying, "Praise the Lord in Abiy Osaria," is because many intercessors stood their ground before you came. And you have been numbered into a long chain of an ancestry of intercessors, working in partnership with angels that keep the vote of prayer. But you think it's something you do out of pleasure. You don't understand that every time that you are motivated to pray, heaven have lifted its hand and rested upon you. The policies that are coming from heaven at that time is dependent on you to enact. So you think it's all about prayer. That is why you can go to the place of prayer and your goal is to be 3 hours of tongues. If you knew what reality was coming from heaven, you will understand that every time you lift your voice in prayer, you are actually instituting an immortal pillar that will stand as a memorial and a testament for the life of Jesus. Your life begins to end the day you disalign with the immortals. It doesn't matter how much breath you have in your nostril. The day you disalign with the immortals, you begin to die. You don't know what life is. They motivate people to come to church. People come to church and they array programs to excite their emotions, fertilizing demonic appetites. The same appetites you fertilize in church is the same appetite that leads them astray from Jesus.
Who will run my life? Spirit of the living God, you will run my life. Yahweh, you will run my life. Spirit of the living God, you will run my life. Yahweh, come and run my life. Spirit of the living God, come and run my life. Yahweh,
men come for prayer meetings, and because this hall is not full, they are discouraged. You think it's about number. It's partnership. It's partnership. It's fusion with heaven. It's not number. Because even if we are 1,000 men, the moment we come together, we ascend as one man. We become a corporate persona. Earth partners with heaven. What you are doing is that you are giving legality for heaven to come to earth. It's not what you are doing heaven depends on. Heaven only wants you to give them access. Access, access. If you have this understanding, even if you are the only man in the prayer room, you will pray like a dying man.
Come and run my life. Spirit of the living God, come and run my life. Yahweh, Spirit of the living God, come and run my life.
Sit down, sit down. Let me just share the word of the Lord briefly. Let me share the word of the Lord. I need to show you a few things. I need to show you a few things. Sometimes you travel with burdens. So you come, if you are not careful, you just keep dissipating the burden. Let's educate ourselves from the scriptures. Glory to Jesus. I may not be doing so much of a biblical exposition tonight. The goal tonight is just to stir the waters. Those who are willing, tomorrow will come, so we'll jump into the waters. It's that season where the angel of the Lord come to stir the waters. And as many as we jump in. Ah, my God. It's not a night of testimonies. Let's look into the scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 12. See, when Pastor Bernard was sharing the burden that was upon his heart, you know, you may not be able to discern when a man is talking. except you are helped to see from where you see. When a man speaks, you may just think it's what you are hearing. But utterance, the difference between utterance and oratorial dexterity is the depth, the scope, and the potency, the power that comes with utterance. And utterance does not come to just educate your mind. Through oratory, you can bring, carve out an expression in an inspiring format and educate the minds of people. But an utterance has a depth into spirit life. So you can only understand when a man of utterance is talking if you are helped to see from the realm where he's talking from. When he was talking, I just wished we could comprehend the scope of what he was trying to say. Thank God for the anointing. That's why the Holy Ghost will minister under the anointing. Because the things you can't say, the Holy Ghost ministers it to people. You know, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say I am?" "I, the Son of Man, am." They were rushed. They said, "You are one of the prophets." Some said John the Baptist, some said Elijah, some said Jeremiah. Obviously, the people didn't know him. So he now brought the questionnaire to those who had been with him. He said, "Okay, who do you say I am?" Suddenly, the rate, the rapid nature of the answers that were coming shut down. When they were walking with Jesus, he was talking. Suddenly, it just turned on them. They didn't know who he was. Nobody said, "Who do men say?" Everybody was rushing to give an answer. Okay, you now, who do you say? It dawned on them that the man they've been with, they don't know him. And when Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," what some people heard there were titles and names. So from that day, some people start calling him Christ. Because they thought what Peter said was a nomenclature. Until you are granted understanding, you won't know the scope of that answer. That's why Jesus quickly said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you." This answer came from a throne. First of all, he made them understand that this answer he has given, that to you may seem as if he was giving a name. There is no way it can be furnished within the scope of human existence. There is no way human intelligence can apprehend the substance and the depth of this which Peter has said. He said this reality was furnished from a throne deep in the spirit. In case you rush and say this is Christ, you know what Christ is. And when you say Son of the living God, if you don't know it, you may not appreciate the answer Peter has given. So when Bernard was talking, some people are thinking, let's be motivated to go to the political corridor. You don't understand the strategic intelligence that is put in place in order to colonize the territory. So when he's talking about a corridor, you don't know the preparation that is required. You don't know the directions that you must follow. You don't know the things you must touch, the realms you must access before you can even survive in the corridor, before you start talking about colonization. So you go now and say, "I'm an apostle to the political world." That's not what he said. It's deep. You know, he had to take many aeons after Jesus had gone for what he was saying to be given expression. In fact, even Peter that said he didn't know what it meant, it was after the Holy Ghost came that Peter was given capacity to give interpretation to the answer he gave Jesus when Jesus was alive. Because first of all, the answer Peter gave Jesus, David had picked it in the Old Testament. That is to tell you that what Peter is saying is not tied to time. It is not a function of dispensation. It's a reality that is locked up in the spirit. So David, who was not even in the dispensation of Jesus, had defined what Christ was in the Old Testament before Peter came to pick it. And even when Peter picked it, he didn't pick it from David. He picked it from the throne where David got it from. It was when the Holy Ghost came that the Holy Ghost had to instruct him through scriptures. So if you have not seen the realm of the spirit, if you have not seen the shape in the spirit, the scriptures will be dead letters to you. And you will be reading to educate your mind and quote. But it's not about quoting. The scriptures are gateways into reality. When the Holy Ghost came, that was when Peter understood the answer he gave. That the Christ is an office. The Lord will grant us understanding this weekend. I want to show you where the journey of the faith begins from. The reason why you speak in tongues and you go home tired as if you will die is because you have not understood the technology. Somebody asks me, Wigglesworth, he said, you don't go on holiday. How do you gain refreshing? And he said, I go on holiday every day. And he began to speak in tongues. So when Smith Wigglesworth is weary, the way he gains refreshing is by speaking in tongues. The same tongues you and I speak, and we go home tired and drenched. Somebody has understood the technology of tongue, and through tongue, he can travel into rest. The reason you have been a Christian for 5 years and they are still motivating you to come to the place of prayer is because you have not understood what prayer is. Because if you know the reality of that technology, you will beg to be part of it. So everything we are taught in church today is a teaching that keeps us outside of the realm of reality. But the purpose of the church is to give expression to reality. So the church is supposed to be the portal that connects the realm of reality to the natural. So everybody who is in the church is first of all supposed to be in the reality. The answer Peter gave, Jesus didn't call it an answer. He called it a strategy. He said this strategy, this revelation is what the church will be built on. If you have not secured it in the spirit, saying it in the natural is waste. In fact, you may set yourself up for demonic attack. So Jesus showed us that first of all, everything we do in the natural must first of all be apprehended in the spirit. Until you catch it in the spirit, you don't have legitimization to utter it in the natural. Whereas they told you, say it and you will have it. And you see a lot of things, but you die. Because they didn't teach you that you must carry out the labor of alignment to secure it in the spirit before you are given permission to utter it in the natural. When God came to Job, in Job 38 verse 4, he said, declare if you have understanding. He was not just questioning Job. He was telling Job, what gives you authority to declare is when you have apprehended understanding. He said, do you know how the ordinances of heaven are established on the earth? Your purpose on earth is to establish ordinances that are in the spirit. And until you come to that point where you have contact with spirit realm, you have no participation in the natural. You're only a number. That's why we have a gathering of 9 million people, but nothing is shaking in our world. There are churches where you go to and you can see 5 governors, but their states are in a state of decadence. Because they gather in the natural, there's no contact with spirit life. If you are taught correctly, you will do nothing except as you have caught it in the spirit. Kenneth Hagin said he read the New Testament 150 times, and there were chapters he read many more times before he preached to the first soul. And in fact, the reason he was an authority in faith and healing is because he experienced what the reality of healing was. So he came as a witness. Our stay on earth is to provide witness to a person, a throne, and a government. You are not a Christian for title. You are here to provide witness. What area of your life is providing witness? That's the first question tonight. If there is no area of your life you can point out to that is providing witness currently, then you are just a number in the church. You are not a significant figure. The only way you can come to a point where you begin to provide witness is when you see and touch the reality in the spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 39, he said, you search the scripture because you think therein you have eternal life. He said, it is the scriptures that speak of me. And before he said that, he said, the reason you are in error is because you have never seen his face nor his shape. It is the man that sees and touches in the realm that can witness on earth. The church is in dire need of witnesses. So before we begin to talk about the time, the seasons, the responsibilities, who are the people who have the capacity to carry out this responsibility? If you are sent to a territory, what witness will you provide? The early church, they tarried in Jerusalem. They didn't go anywhere. They tarried there until people had their footing in God. So the Bible said, Philip went to Samaria. It didn't say a people. Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there, and the city was filled with joy. That was one man. Now, you don't understand. That is the same technology that operated in the Old Testament. The Bible said 400 battered men. Broke, battered men. They met David in the cave of Adullam. David was not in a hurry to send them anywhere. They stayed with him until they became mighty men. A time came when they were reading their citation in the annals of eternity. Ah! And they spoke of Adoni. The Esnite. He said by his spear he slew 800 men. Eleazar, the son of Bodo. He said there was a time when the whole armies of Israel fled. He stood there and defended the whole territory. That is the same technology by which Philip was able to conquer a city. It is the same thing that happened in the old that is happening now. It's a technology of life. If you have not touched the reality, you can't give expression to it in the natural. But we have people running around trying to give expression to things they don't know. Young people stand and call themselves apostles. Prophets. You, an apostle. Do you know who an apostle is? An apostle. It is a deformation of reality. As far as Paul was concerned, apart from the many criteria of being an apostle, one of it is that you must have seen Jesus. Apostle. Everybody, apostle, prophet. Do you know what will happen if one apostle visits this town? The whole place will shake from its foundation. It's a discord. What we have been taught have ostracized us from reality. It's time for us to now come back and journey with the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead us into that realm. That's where you begin from. Every one of us must come back to the Holy Spirit to guide us into reality. Because everything we have been taught have separated us from reality. Here, man of God come and he's talking about holiness, sanctification. And you just carry his phone. And you'll be disappointed. Because we know scriptures. Use concordance, gather scriptures and we quote them. You think it's about quoting scriptures. Jesus, who was the author of the scriptures, he didn't say he quotes scriptures to educate people. He said, everything I say is spirit, is life. Everything I utter is spirit, is life. If you have touched the spirit of righteousness, when you speak, people repent genuinely. I told you it's an act. People are in church for 10 years, they have not apprehended anything in life. And they come out with pride and say they are Christians. You are a mockery to what Christianity is. That's why the Muslim man can look at you in the face and say, get out. He knows you are not even serious about what you are saying. He knows even what you are saying, you don't believe it. So when they begin the activity, they don't even care how many you are. Because with a sound, everybody takes to his heel. There's nobody who can stand. And that is because very few believe. The Bible said, the ones that believed, he said, they put to flight the armies of the alien. And even the ones that were besieged on every side, they say, in the face of deliverance, they rejected it, so that they may have a better resurrection. Paul said, only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You come and you say, you want to challenge Islam. You know what Islam is? Do you know it? Because you went for a meeting and somebody quote and spoke, and you think you too go and talk. Do you know what Islam is? Go back and study the foundation of Islam. You will run for your life. You don't have what it takes. You have not been able to challenge demons, making a puppet out of your life. And you're talking about Islam. You are struggling with masturbation, struggling with lust, and you are talking about Islam. These are businesses for envoys. It's not a business for a babe. They are businesses for people who are separated unto death. People who have made a vow with Jesus that if they die, they die. I told you it's a business for talkers. Everybody's talking everywhere, nothing is happening. You will stand, you call Islam. You don't know what it is. A boy of 10 years in Islam can die for it without thinking twice. He is indoctrinated with the demons that powers that reality. You don't know the Holy Spirit. It's a game of spirits. It's a battle of thrones. You don't know the Holy Spirit and you are challenging Islam. You know the principalities and the entities that power that reality. Go and know the Holy Spirit first before you start talking. They have been deceived. Think it's about talking. People go for meeting and they plan messages. And then they come talk excellently, intelligently. You think it's about intelligent talking? The lady who has been in immorality for 10 years, having sex every week 4 times, you think intelligent conversation can break that stronghold? You don't know what you are doing. You think Christianity is a joke. That's why you are where you are. A boy who has lied all his life, the first iota of fear, he knows 10 lies to tell. He has mastered treachery and demonic intelligence. You think a sound message has the power to deliver him? Go back and read the scripture and beg for mercy. We are too arrogant. We are too proud. That's because we don't know what we are contending with. Some of the things you say is what will frustrate your life. Because when you speak, you expose yourself in the realm of the spirit. You talk things that you don't have backing for. And then you expose yourself. And then demons come and they, who is this one? And like the sons of Sceva. In their own case, they were only beaten and torn. Some of you, they plague you with sicknesses. You go for a sickness and then a meeting, and then you say, you judge the principalities, you judge the gods of this territory. You, where are you talking from? Where are you talking from? Do you know where the reality of that spirit is? Elijah said, before God whom I stand, that's what gave him credentials to talk. You think it's by putting people here and there that gives you capacity to take over a territory? Go and find out from the men that took over territory. Paul said, if after the manner of flesh, he said, I contended, I warred, I judged the gods of Ephesus. You contend with spirits. This thing is spirit business. It has nothing to do with intellectualism. Your intelligence is an added advantage to help you communicate to humans. But the whole reality is in the spirit. And if you have not journeyed there, better come and align yourself with that journey. It's not a game of talkers. It's a game of men that have caught covenant with life. That is the only ground where which you can chase death backward. There are a generation that want to cut ourselves off. You wonder why things happen to people in a very mischievous manner. Because they touch things that they are not enthroned to touch. It's a game of thrones. Lucifer had the understanding. He knew he wanted to control the earth realm the way he desired. And he didn't come to earth to begin to make boast. He knew the first thing is to be enthroned in the spirit. So he coveted the throne of God. You have not journeyed there in the spirit and then you want to start acting in the natural. You are setting your lineage up for destruction. We must come back to the feet of the Christ and learn of him. We must learn of him. What have you apprehended in God? That's why you come to church and you are encouraged, you are motivated, and then you are sleeping when the word of God is going on. What you need to know is that an alarm has already been blasted in the spirit. That you are not ready now is a disadvantage. So I'm not even coming to dissuade you from what is happening. Sons of order are already standing in their ranks. Men of understanding who have seen through the vistas of heaven, they know that the alignment pattern has begun. I've come to tell you there's no time. You need to go back to your closet and dig into God. You need to find out the blueprint of your life, the writings of your ordination. It's time to align. The beauty of it is that grace is there. You see, by grace, you can outrun the chariots of Ahab. That's the beauty of grace. It doesn't take eternity for God to do that which is eternal. Apostle told us. He said, and the hand of God came upon Elijah, and he outran the chariots of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. The alarm had been sounded. You are not yet prepared, but there is grace. If you will come back to your closet and for the first time in purity, in truth, willfully submit yourself, then something can begin again. You see, man of God was sharing with us how that the people that by ordination were willed a season, an era, say, take is yours. Shankar and Jael. He said, this era is yours, take it. But they were not ready. A woman stood up. He said, it doesn't matter. Heaven have released it to earth. Anybody that can catch it will run with it. It has been spoken, it has been released. If you catch it, you run with it. Wrong with it. It doesn't matter if the name, the signature in heaven is Jael. It doesn't matter if it's Shankar. There is Deborah here who is willing. If you are willing, the windows are open. The windows are open. According to the writings of ordination, he said, the new Jerusalem, the 12 apostles of the Lamb shall be the pillars that bear that civilization. But Judas, he walked himself out of it. And instantly Matthias came in. He was not there by ordination. But when you go to the new Jerusalem, he will be the one that will sit with Jesus on the 12th throne to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. When the windows are open, anybody can enter. And that is what grace has come to do for every one of us. As many as are willing and obedient, the Bible said, we eat the good of the land. The good of the land is not green pasture. The good of the land are utterances that God has released to secure prosperity, to advance his policies, to advance his purposes. And everyone that is willing will enter into it. I can't open my scripture, man of God. There's a body. You see, you have stirred the waters. You see, you have stirred the waters. What you need to know is that time is a lie. Everything you have calculated your life upon is a lie. Have you not checked your face? Were you looking like this 10 years ago? A day will come where the smooth face will become wrinkled. That's to tell you that even your makeup is a lie. This realm is called the realm of mortality. It's the realm of corruption. And it's a statement all by itself that any civilization that is not built in the Holy Ghost will ebb away. Everything you have done outside the Holy Ghost, it will corrupt. The signature upon it is called mortality. Anything that has no root in the spirit will corrupt, including your beautiful looks. It will pass away. What wise men do is that every breath that is upon their nostrils, they convert it to an investment in eternity. Because God has a weighing system in heaven. Just the way in the old times men were weighed by the shekels of the sanctuary. God has a weighing system. He will measure your services. He will measure the extent of your intensities in your work with him, your commitment, because he's a just God. When you are young, it's better. That's why if you read Psalm 110 from verse 1 to 3, after he spoke about the era of the Holy Ghost that will begin after the enthronement of the Christ, he now said all of these things, they will happen in the beauty of your youth, in the dew of your youth. When you are young, it's better. At that time, you can maximize the provisions of grace. And because you have been separated into a realm of time, it gives you greater opportunity for more exploit. When Joshua conquered 31 kings, he said, you say you are tired. See the nations. He was counting numbers. In eternity, they count life. They don't count numbers. How much of your life have you put into it? That's what they count. Spirits are not in the realm of time. They don't count numbers. They count life. Everyone must wake up. unique graces, unique purposes, unique roles, assignments, and responsibilities. But too many people are sleeping. The enemy is encroaching the borders of our habitation, but no man will rise up and say, restore. It's a day for the emergence of the sons of order. When you are summoned, what you don't know is that heaven is asking you to provide support. Windows have opened. Doors have opened. They want to invade your landscape. Grant access. Every time you refuse, what you have done is that you have aligned with darkness. Because the goal of darkness is to oppose everything that is coming from heaven. You have been selected by ordination to open the door so that heaven can invade earth as an avalanche. But when you are summoned, then you turn your back. One day the Lord will open your eyes, and then you will discover that that thing you thought was a desire for prayer was Jesus himself standing before you. The Lord may open your eyes. You will never back down a summon in the spirit again. You will realize that a whole assembly have gathered in heaven, and they are waiting for you to just make a proclamation so that the procession can begin. That's when you want to sleep. An entourage, an assembly gathered in heaven, and then you are quickened, and then you wake up just sleeping. That time when you think, well, this prayer I need to pray now, I can pray till the morning, you don't understand the Kairos moment. This summon that you have been summoned now, you may say, okay, maybe let me graduate from the university. Yeah, maybe during my master's or when I'm working. You don't know the Kairos moment. That time the mantle will lift and rest on another person. So you will come back after 5 years and start struggling. You will struggle for 30 years, nothing will move. You lost your window. Need to understand that there is another world, there's another economy, there's another measuring system, and every one of us have been numbered in God. Let me read one scripture so you won't say he came and didn't open the Bible. John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you. He said, but you cannot bear them. He said, how be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things. I'll just explain this verse of scripture, and then we'll begin to pray. For tonight, we'll begin to pray. You see, Jesus does not introduce people. He doesn't introduce entities. And of course, the answer is clear enough. On account of his stature in the spirit, his status, he is superior to every deity. All things were made for him, for his pleasure. By him were all things made. So he doesn't come to bring recognition and accolades to entities. Because of who he is in the spirit. Are we together? However, in the context of this scripture, we saw Jesus giving a very robust introduction to another personality. And you see, if you are a student of the scripture, when you see an unusual happening, then it draws your attention. Why would Jesus take time to introduce this personality? Apostle told us a story. Said when they got to final year, there was this course they needed to do, theoretical chemistry. It's called quantum mechanics. And then the teacher that was supposed to take the course now went for leave. So usually, if you don't find a lecturer in chemistry to take that course, you can also get a lecturer from physics, who is a theoretical physicist. You see, in quantum, in subatomic sciences, in quantum mechanics, that's where physics and chemistry becomes one. The little difference is that physics may be a little more calculational. But in their own case, he said they brought, this guy just came in on sabbatical from Germany. And you must have heard him share that story. He said the guy has a master's degree in physics. He had a master's degree in chemistry. He had a master's degree in electrical electronics engineering. He had a master's degree in biological sciences. Now, not the normal biological sciences you do here. This one you do is history of biology. Biology have gone beyond what you are doing. It's not the theory of self. Now, biology in advanced nation is genetic engineering. You study technology of cloning, modification of cells to alter the operations and protocol of DNA operations. So biology, the one you are doing is history of biology. So when I say biology, don't say how can somebody do physics biology? It's genetic engineering. So he had master's degree cutting across all the science field and then in electronics engineering. And the reason he had to do this was because there is a study he was embarking on in his PhD thesis. And of course, when you have masters across like that, you are not awarded a PhD. You are awarded a DSc, Doctor of Science. Right? And this research he was doing is a research in dwarf fluorescence. He wanted to see how parts of beings could regenerate. Because the tail of lizard, if you cut it off, it has the ability to regenerate. So they want to see how understanding that concept and the active ingredients responsible, the electrical impulses that are responsible, could be studied so that the same principle could be translated to humans. So that peradventure you are amputated, the part can grow back. If your hand is cut off, you can grow it back. That was the study he was embarking on as far back as the 2001 thereabout. So when he came, these guys now they saw their past questions. This course, if they are tipped the course to be A course, because from the past questions they saw the approach, everybody usually pass quantum mechanics. So hey, thank God. We will boost our CGPA from here. But a new lecturer now showed up. And when this lecturer showed up, the first topic he treated was Schrodinger equation. Schrodinger equation, if you begin to, is to prove the hydrogen atom. The proof alone takes like 6 pages. That's where the man started the course. So the moment they entered the course, they just knew they have failed. Now, why was it so simple? They were not sufficiently intimated of the status and the modus operandi of the new lecturer. So they thought that the church was fixed, the course was fixed. They didn't understand that even though the content of the course was the same, the process of teaching would be different. And because they were not introduced to the operational policies of this lecturer, they were disadvantaged the moment they interfaced with him. Now, in the days of Jesus, you could just walk up to Jesus and say, who sinned that this man was born blind? Is he his father? And Jesus would say, no, it's not anybody. It's so that the glory of God can be made manifest. And then he said, thank you, son, go away. Jesus will be moving. You need healing. You just touch him like this and take healing and go away. But he was about to depart. A new personality was coming on board. Now, in the context of this new dispensation, you can't just come and say, who sinned? Because when Jesus teaches, he gives you the information. But the information does not have the capacity to transform you. This new lecturer that is coming, he's not going to give you the information. He will carry you into the realm where the reality is. So Jesus needed to take time to instruct the disciples that, you see, the things I have to tell you, if I say them through articulate speech, it will not profit you. These things I have to tell you, they are realities that are real in the realm of the spirit. And the only one that has the capacity through his teaching modules to bring you into the knowledge of this reality is called the spirit. So that their operation will change and their mindset will change. Because when this guy comes, he's not going to operate the way I am operating now. That was why Jesus took time to explain to them who this entity that was coming was. And the next strategy that will be implemented so long as you want to do business with God. Because Jesus was like a doctor. You come, you have headache.
Your mouth is bitter. You feel weak. You vomit. And then you say, okay, this thing is malaria. And then you say, okay, it's malaria. So even somebody who doesn't have malaria, you can come and tell the person, if you feel bitter in your mouth, you feel weak, you are vomiting, this is called malaria. The Holy Ghost doesn't teach like that. If the Holy Ghost wants to teach you malaria, he will put malaria inside of you. So you will experience malaria. Now, these guys were not used to this teaching syllabus. A new lecturer is about to come. And before you can lay hold on anything with this lecturer, you must be willing to submit to his government so that he will guide you into the realm where this reality is. Because the purpose that this lecturer wants to achieve is not just to educate you. He wants you to become a witness of that which he's teaching you. Because as Jesus is living now, God wants many more Jesus on many more corridors. The first time, if Jesus is in Jerusalem, you can only find him in Jerusalem. So if you want to know anything now, you travel from Zaria to Jerusalem. But a new technology has come. God wants to replicate Jesus so that you can have 10,000 Jesuses in Zaria. And the only way he can do it is to bring a new lecturer who will carry you into the spirit so that as you mingle with reality, when you come out, you become the expression of that reality. That is why in our context we are called witnesses. So if you are walking in the kingdom today and you don't have a walk with the Holy Spirit, you have not started. You are still walking in the era of Jesus, and that era is no longer implementation. That era has been short, so you will not be relevant. So if we want a transformation in Zaria, we need people that first of all will journey with the Holy Spirit into the realm of reality. So as they come back, their corridors will become a manifestation of heaven. That's the meaning of the scripture. I have many things to say to you. But the things I want to tell you, they are realities in the spirit. But don't worry. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will guide you into the things I want to tell you. You will not only know about them, you will now become the representation of those things. So when a man touches the texture of healing, if he touches you, he can transmit healing. He won't come and tell you now that when this happened. That's what makes us not to be lecturers, but we have become instructors of divine life. When a man touches salvation, he does not give you salvation from heaven. When we call people to bring them eternal life, we don't give them eternal life from heaven. We give them eternal life from the overflow that we have in our vessel. We transfer healings to people. But the only way we can do that is to walk with the Holy Spirit until we are full of the reality. But you go to church now, everything they teach you separates you from the realm. They tell you doctrine, they tell you things, and then you know those things and you go about talking them. Don't you wonder why your world is not changed? You come, you say, I have power. I'm a man of power. You come to church. You know how to stir the emotions of people. You talk in tongues like this, You create this sound, and then people fall down. And you say, you are a man of power. But there is witchcraft in your family. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Because they are not things that you interact with cerebrally. They are realities in the spirit. But an entity comes that can carry you into that realm so that you touch those things and you can manifest them to your world. A Christian, in our context today, is a carrier of everything that God is. Because until you come to that point, you cannot change your world. God is interested in colonizing our territory so that our landscape, our corridors, our realities can become an extension of heaven. But how many people are carrying these things? It's beyond coming to church and motivating people. Say, you are the light of the world. You are the this. You are the this. But you don't teach them how to walk with the Holy Spirit. So they will go back. The same things you use, the same phrases, the same clauses, the same sentences you use. They gather the same sentences and they go and gather other people and tell them, you are this, you are this. And those people too gather the same thing and they go and tell this. So you go the language, the church language is everywhere. There is no transformation. I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. Until you begin to journey with the Holy Spirit, you can't bear them. You can't bear them. Don't be deceived to think that if you say it, it happens. It depends on where you are saying it from. It is the Holy Spirit that carries you into reality. And any man that proclaims from reality, he has the status and the powers to change everything around his life. In these 3 days of interaction with the Spirit, we will be journeying into realms of life. I told you that everything in time is a lie. Nowadays, I go for meetings. When the atmosphere is charged, I tell everybody, calm down, sit down. Because we judge mighty meetings now by the level of emotional exertion. Because you went, you shouted, you jumped, you say that place was hot. But you go back to your sins. You go back to your sicknesses. It's time to enter into realms of tangibility. If it's a healing service, let there be healing. It's a realm of tangibility. Sometimes the angels that walk with us, they marvel. An angel is standing with you. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing. To come to the meeting, the angel is literally shouting. No, God is saying, tell them to repent. Rebuke them. See what they are doing. Rebuke them. And then you now come. Oh, God is not a liar. The things you have mastered, you just recite them. And then the angel that was supposed to partner with you will now stand like this. Men are truly amazing. And then you make the people believe you know what you are doing. But in the realm where it matters, they are marveling at you. What are you doing? And then the people rise up and clap hands for you. And then you go back. Your conscience doesn't even prick you to go back to the realm and seek mercy. When you do that for 5 years, for 6 years, for 7 years, then you will discover that you are walking in a circle. That time you will begin to suffer with unfulfilled desires. You will know that you have not begun to scratch the texture of your calling. I read the story of Kenneth Hagin and I became humble. He pastored for 13 years. And in these 13 years of pastoring, not one person died in his church, not one. Kenneth Hagin had the patience of sitting with somebody explaining divine healing for 6 months until the person is healed. But after 13 years, Jesus came to him. And he said, you have just entered into the first phase of your prophetic call. What wise men do is that they check for the alarm in the spirit. The problem is not the clap. The problem is who is clapping. It's better for one angel in heaven to clap for you than for the whole world to fall at your feet. Because until you touch it where it matters, you are not relevant. I told you everything that is done outside of the government and the civilization of the Holy Spirit is judged as corruption. And it cannot cross the great divide. And even you who is doing what you are doing, if you don't latch to the Holy Spirit today, a day cometh. The day when breath ceases on your nostril. That day you will need to travel. It's a journey. It's a strange kind of journey. It's a journey through the dark portals of the great divide. At that time, the only one that has stature to carry you through those portals to appear in the realm of light is the Holy Spirit. So if not for anything, we will latch on to Him so that when that day of traveling comes, we will arrive at the right destination. There are a lot of things you can do without the Holy Spirit. If you have skill with words, you know what to say to get the people crying. But the goal is not crying. If you know what to say, you know what to say to make the people laugh and excited. It's not laughter. We are here to witness because we are ambassadors of an invisible kingdom. When we show up, our life is supposed to be a proof that there is a word. There is a personality. His name is Jesus. That's the reason you are still alive. It's not about your ambition. Everything you do in ABU Zaria is supposed to give you a platform for witness. What you are doing, you are actually enlarging your coast. You are stretching forth the curtains of your habitation. But if you cut the value of your life into what you are doing here, you will be calculated and judged as a mortal. And at the end of the day, when the eyes of the great monarch of Zion looks upon it, it will be burned like chaff. Then you will discover that you have wasted your life. Because everything that your life is about is time. But time will be rolled away like a curtain. That is when we will look beyond the veil to see the immortal realm. That is where for the first time you will know how much your thoughts count. When you are thinking, you think you are thinking, you don't know that you are imputing energy and distorting the balances of creation. For the first time you will know that every word that proceeds from your mouth either advanced the purpose of God or energized a demonic entity. When the curtains of the great divide are rolled away, then you will realize that even your dress count. Because that thing you wore, you were inspired by spirit. It's not just about the dress. That you comply to wear that dress, what you have done is that you have submitted your will to a demon. So the demon have found a gateway to enter into the earth realm. But you will never see it until the curtains are rolled away. That's when you will know that it's not about the microphone. When you are given opportunity to lead prayer, you will be humble about it. Because there is somebody on another side taking scores. There's a kingdom about to enter into the earth realm. The question tonight is, will you allow yourself to become a conduit through which that kingdom will find expression? God doesn't lose in this battle. If you study the book, at the end, he won. But will you stand with him when he wins? The only basis for you standing with him is your participation with his will now. And the only way you participate with him is by submitting your own will. There is a trumpet blowing very loud in Zion. People are already being numbered. People are already being counted. And like I told you, if you choose to remove yourself from the equation, God can raise 1,000 David overnight. When Judas was removed, he didn't take them a moment. They said, let's cast a lot. Let's cast a lot. And two persons were already available. And Matthias was picked to replace him. The throne Judas was supposed to sit in eternity is Matthias that will sit there. God is not limited. Apostle told us he's not limited to win with many or to conquer with few. The man that aligns with God is a wise man. He is judging his life not by time, but by reality. It's time to look inward. Look inward. What is it that the Holy Ghost has been stirring that you have shut down with activity? It's time to give that thing room for expression. Only you know these things. These are sacred economies. The Holy Ghost has been whispering. Will you give him half a chance tonight? I know all of you are church people. You have been in the church, prayed, fasted. Some of you, they even call you fasting machine. Some of you are prayer warriors. But you and I know that it's your will you have been strengthening. When they come for prayer, you want everybody to know you are the only one that can pray for 4 hours without sitting down. Imagine how we can make mundane out of things that have immortal significance. You and I know it's not about church, it's about witnessing. Because when the true context of church is defined, it is the men that bear Jesus that will be seen. Can you talk to Jesus? Tonight is not a night of motivation, it's a night of decision. I want you to do it without being motivated. I want you to do it without your emotions being stirred. I know a window that I will enter and everybody will begin to cry. But be in your current, very rigid mental position and make a commitment to Jesus. It's commitments that move spirits. Spirits are beings of covenants. What moves them are not activities. They are commitments. make a commitment tonight? Can you make a commitment? Yes, we know that you are the choir leader. Everybody know you. I've been to meeting before where everybody were under the power, but the territory didn't shake. So it dawned on me that there is something beyond falling down. I've been to meetings where people are healed. Many healed, and it become a license for them to continue what they were afraid of doing. They became afraid that they were going to die. So they became modest, became conscious of God. When they were healed, they went back. That was when I discovered that this business is soul business. What matters more is the orientation you tilt the soul of a man. If you can make a man align with Jesus, the job is done. Let him grow in that path of spiritual progress. Last weekend alone, I was in UNISIC. I preached in 7 meetings in 52 hours. So all kinds of healings. But it's not about the healings. When you go back there after 3 weeks, what is happening? The guy that did not have grace for prayer, will that grace be activated? The guy that did not have desire to serve God, will that desire be quickened? Jesus raised men, and when he left, all of them became like him. All. They were exactly like him. That's what he has called us to do. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He had audacity. It was Paul that said, as much as we have loved you, we have not only imparted unto you the gospel of Jesus, but the very substance of our soul. A man comes to a place in God where he knows he has the mind of Christ. Paul had the audacity to say, concerning virgins, I have not received an instruction from the Lord, but as a man faithful who is counted worthy, I can make statements on these matters. He was not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but what he said became scriptures. How can a man enter into so much dealing with God that his soul can be that aligned? The utterances of a man can line up with scriptures. Scriptures are the heartbeat of God. Paul could speak and say, these things is not God that gave this instruction. And they could line up as scriptures. How does God work on a man that he becomes so much like him? How? Men who had so much assurance in time. And Peter will say, when we are stripped off of this mortal body. He said, we want you to continue what we are doing. Because what they are doing transcends time and space. It doesn't matter when we live. He said, when we live, continue. Because we have not believed cunningly devised fables. When we spoke unto you about the coming monarch of Zion, he said, we were eyewitnesses of these things. We saw his excellent majesty on the mount when he was transfigured. The things we saw, we handled them. And the moment we touched them, life sustained a new meaning that was deeper than our ambitions. Life sustained a new meaning that was deeper than everything we loved. Men could walk away from families. They wandered into territories where their lives were threatened. The Bible said, Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that hazarded their lives on the gospel. What did they see? What did they look upon? What did they touch? What did they stumble upon in the spirit? People like John could follow Jesus. Church history told us they cast him into boiling oil. He couldn't die. They tied him to a chariot, rode him around the city. When they discovered that they couldn't kill the man, they now sentenced him away from civilization. They cast him to the Isle of Patmos. They said, let him die there. Hunger will kill him. This guy didn't come to a point where he was dissatisfied. Even in Patmos, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He knew nothing else but to live in the spirit. When you say their end has come, then their life become a proof that there is life after death. When you say it is over with these ones, then they prove to you that they connect to a source that is deeper than time and space. These ones don't have an end. Even while they walked earth, they stood in the immortal realm like entities of Zion. Men could speak from earth and correct impressions in heaven. Moses will tell God, repent of these things. How do you want it to be heard that you, the great God, delivered them from the hands of their enemies and destroyed them in the wilderness? A man could tell God to repent. By what means? What did he enter that God will say concerning Abraham? He said, will I do a thing and not consult my servant? So the one who is called the I am that I am now seeks the permission of men in order to exact policies. These policies we spoke about, they were written in ageless aeons before time began. What did that man enter into that God now, who concluded earth before it began, will now need to seek his permission? By what technology? These men did not pride themselves in calling names and phone numbers. They gave word of knowledge to generations. Jacob will rise up and he will place his hand on Ephraim and Manasseh. He said, let the name of Israel be named upon you. And instantly they became part of the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses will rise upon the mountain and say, Levi is no longer part of Israel. I separate them unto the Lord. How do these men become so mighty? It is a protocol of alignment. You align your heart with Jesus and he will show you possibilities you can never imagine. You think your life is all about your family, all about your village and where you came from. You have been deceived. Before they know you, they have to go back to the original where you were fabricated from. You are a photocopy of a reality. You are as deep as God. But the only way you can establish that connection is through alignment. You connect yourself back to the fountain of life and you become as deep as the immortal one himself. When you realize these things, activities don't move you anymore. You don't come to a place to impress people. I told you it's about men. Our first audience is God himself. So you will know that we don't speak to educate. We speak as witnesses. If God is your audience, can you educate him? Can you educate him? So you stand on the pulpit, you think you are educating people. You are a transmitter of eternal heritage, a transmitter of eternal realities. Do you think it's what you say that changed men? It is what is transmitted in what you say. Covenant of law, the altar of Jerusalem to Yeshua, who is the Word of God, to my Jesus through his blood I belong. Happy choir.
To the family of Yahweh.
Oma Shakara Hibuata You can speak in tongues, this is the time. You can speak in tongues, this is the time.
I belong.
In sincerity tonight, I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost to touch you. Let him give you a tangible experience so that you will know that what we do is not an act, not an activity. It's a move of reality. A move. I'm not going to be shouting. The era of impressing men is gone. If he touches you, you will know. And you will respond because you cannot over. You can't withstand it. Father, precious Holy Spirit, look upon the hearts of your children. Many are making decisions now. Decisions that have eternal consequences. I ask that you stretch forth your hands and touch now. As a proof that you are real and that you are alive. The power of God has already begun to touch people. Just the keyboardist. That's right. Breathe upon them now, Lord. Touch them. Touch them. Let there be a gentle embrace with reality. A gentle embrace. Gentle embrace with reality. Be still and we see the salvation of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost is going to begin to minister to the hearts. The hearts now. Some of you will find yourself crying. Not like you felt like crying, you just start crying. What's happening is that is reconfiguring the heart. The heart. Is reshaping the heart. The heart. The heart. The heart. The heart. There will be an investment. An investment. An investment. Help those that God is already ministering to. That we don't disrupt the decorum. Find yourself crying. Heart alignment. Heart alignment is being restored. Heart alignment. Heart alignment. Now the Lord is ministering to a few sisters. You desire to pray, but there's no capacity. Find yourself sleeping. You find yourself sleeping. The spirit of intercession is about to come.